Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Today we'll be taking a special look at developments in Lebanon, and particularly at a Rome conference held Wednesday to discuss a cessation of hostilities in the Israeli-Lebanese conflict and how to best prepare for the humanitarian crisis that is developing. Delegates to a multinational Rome conference failed to agree on a strategy to bring about an immediate ceasefire in the Lebanon-Israel conflict. Ahead of that Wednesday conference, Pope Benedict said he was praying for its success and hoped everyone would do the same. The Vatican was present as an observer at the conference with its foreign minister, Archbishop Giovanni Laiolo.
È certamente positivo che sia stata convocata con tanta rapidità.
Though some were disappointed by the outcome of the conference, Archbishop Laiolo praised what he called its many positive points, including the fact that it was so quickly convened and the commitment of different countries across the globe to work for peace in Lebanon and to provide humanitarian assistance to the victims of the conflict. He also pointed particularly to the call for an international force to support the Lebanese army in maintaining security in the country.
Di quanto accade in Libano, anzitutto il fatto che non si sia richiesta l'immediata cessazione delle ostilità.
He admitted, however, that some might be discouraged by the failure of participants to agree on a call for an immediate ceasefire. But, he said, participants pledged to work together towards a cessation of hostilities. It was also problematic, Archbishop Laiolo said, that the participants limited themselves to inviting Israel to exercise the maximum restraint. Such an invitation can be considered ambiguous, he said, while the welfare of civilians is a primary and immediate obligation.
Mentre il riguardo per la popolazione civile innocente è un dovere preciso e inderogabile.
For more on the conference, we go now to Veronica Scarisbrick, who was following the conference for Vatican Radio. She filed this report.
It was a sweltering hot morning in Rome when Italy's Foreign Minister Massimo D'Alema took the floor at a press conference to read out a document in which he expressed the international community's deep concern regarding the ongoing situation in Lebanon and the current violence in the Middle East.
To enjoin urgent and substantial humanitarian assistance and to discuss concrete steps that would allow a free, independent and democratic Lebanon to exercise effective control over all of its territory.
The statement in question finalized morning talks at a peace summit which took place on Wednesday 26th of July at Italy's foreign ministry known as the Farnesina, one hosted by Italy and sponsored by the United States. Mr. D'Alema highlighted both the determination to work towards reaching, with the utmost urgency, a ceasefire that would be lasting, permanent and sustainable. The United States Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, who stood next to her host, picked up on that word, sustainable.
We are all agreed that we want most urgently to end the violence on a basis that this time will be sustainable.
When Lebanese Prime Minister Fuad Sanyora spoke, he issued a dramatic appeal for peace, pleading with world leaders to keep working towards an immediate ceasefire, drumming in how during the past fortnight scores of civilians and military have died, the country reduced to its knees. Also present was the United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan, who listened on as Mr. D'Alema explained how an international force in Lebanon should urgently be authorized under a UN mandate to support Lebanese armed forces in providing a safe environment. The Rome Conference's statement spelled out how participants pledged their determination to work in partnership with the international community in an effort to provide humanitarian relief to the people of Lebanon, all the while expressing deep concern for civilian casualties and suffering, the destruction of civil infrastructures, and the rising number of internally displaced people. It affirmed that the fundamental condition for lasting security in Lebanon is the government's full ability to exercise its authority over all its territory. Finally, participants at the Rome Conference agreed that any lasting solution to Middle East tensions must be regional. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.
While the Holy See's Secretary of State, Cardinal Sodano, met Lebanon's Prime Minister Fouad Siniora for talks in the Vatican following the conference Wednesday evening, Chris Altieri has that story.
In an interview given to the Italian daily Corriere della Sera, Cardinal Sodano expressed the Holy See's disappointment at the summit's failure to reach agreement for a ceasefire. The Cardinal did welcome efforts to ensure humanitarian aid to the suffering population of Lebanon. Cardinal Sodano reiterated Pope Benedict XVI's call to safeguard human life, adding that the Holy Father is deeply concerned with the situation in Lebanon and is closely following the crisis. I'm Chris Altieri.
Some, including one Israeli minister, perceived the Rome conference as weak and even went so far as to say the conference gave Israel a green light to continue bombing. But Catholic Relief Services security advisor Adib Faris in Beirut begs to disagree.
Certainly. I mean, and I was reading a report here, again, through the local press, where one of the Israeli generals was quoted as saying that, exactly, that we feel the outcome has given us carte blanche to do whatever we want. I mean, I don't think there there was anything in that conference that would lead somebody to believe that they were given carte blanche, apart from the fact that there was no ceasefire declared. Now, if they want to say that we're given carte blanche because there was no ceasefire declared, that's one aspect. I suppose they can read it. But certainly I wouldn't view the discussions of Rome to have given the green light to any of the factions to keep fighting. In fact, I think restraint has been called by everybody. But I wouldn't put that as a very accurate reading of the Rome meeting.
While they continue to suffer under the terrible blows of Israeli bombs, the Lebanese are divided over their support for Hezbollah, a member of the central government and a resistance movement against Israel.
Hezbollah is a form of militia, or the only militia to maintain its weapon after the civil war, the long 17-year civil war in Lebanon. And against the United Nations Resolution 1559 that calls all Lebanese and non-Lebanese militias to disarm, the Hezbollah maintained its weapons. So I cannot say all Lebanese, but for more than half Lebanese, it's a state in the States. So many critics call it a state within the state.
Tony is a Lebanese Christian who evacuated from Beirut last week. Weeks of multi-party talks this spring in Beirut failed to achieve an agreement that would encourage Hezbollah to disarm. Well, in light of current events, it is interesting to take a look back at comments made by Prime Minister Siniora this past February when he was here in Rome ahead of those talks. He had this to say.
And Lebanon has expressed its point of view that we do not accept the continued infiltration of personnel and arms into Lebanon. As far as the Hezbollah is concerned, because these are two matters, the Hezbollah is concerned, as we have already made our point very clear several times. Hezbollah is a Lebanese party which has a representation in the parliament and a representation in the government. And we believe that this party has to really be looked at as a very representative of a good portion of the Lebanese, and there is a great deal of dialogue that's going on to handle all the issues that are of importance to Lebanon, and most important, the initiative that has been already made by the Speaker of the House in order to really bring all concerned, the parliamentary groups in the parliament, to get together in order to engage in an effective dialogue to deal with the matters that can preserve the unity of the country and at the same time leading towards having good relations with Syria and leading as well towards the liberation of the remaining parts of Lebanon that are still occupied by Israel, and ultimately leading towards the sole monopoly of the state of Lebanon over its affairs in the country.
But Tony, who asked that we not use his real name, says the multi-party talks in Beirut failed thanks to an outside power which was dealing the cards.
I think most of Lebanese knew that the talks will not lead to anything because the decision of Hezbollah is not done by the Hezbollah leaders. It's an outside decision. It comes from Iran, who maintained, who financed and armed and trained the Hezbollah.
So you don't see Hezbollah as the primary actor in all of this?
He's the primary actor, but he's not the one who decides when to act and how to act and what to do.
Another Lebanese who wishes to see a strong central government in his country is Cardinal Nasrallah Sfeir, the Maronite Patriarch of Lebanon. He is calling for an immediate ceasefire all around.
On aurait souhaité qu'il y ait un cessez-le-feu immédiat parce que jusqu'ici la destruction du pays continue.
Patriarch Sfeir says for any lasting peace to take hold in the region, Syria and Lebanon must first come to agreement on border issues. What he's talking about is the Israeli-occupied Sheba Farms area in southern Lebanon, which the UN says belongs to Syria. But Sheba Farms is on the Israeli-Lebanese border, and most people in the 14-kilometer territory call themselves Lebanese, not Syrian. Damascus, though, has yet to formally cede Sheba Farms to the Beirut government. Israel's occupation of the Sheba Farms is one of the primary reasons Hezbollah continues its fight to liberate all Lebanese land. Patriarch Sfeir says a UN force should be deployed to separate all three countries from each other so that people can live in peace within their own free states. Well, among Vatican officials expressing concern over the conflict is Archbishop Agostino Marchetto, secretary of the Pontifical Council for Migrants. Emer McCarthy reports on a new statement he has issued calling for safe access to humanitarian aid for hundreds of thousands of refugees in Lebanon.
During these difficult days, especially for Lebanon, the statement says, the Archbishop would like to add his voice to all those who have been asking for an immediate ceasefire of the hostilities. Moreover, the humanitarian community should get access to the suffering civilian population who is forced to flee the conflict. The hundreds of thousands of displaced persons need our urgent attention, says the Archbishop. Humanitarian corridors should be put in place so that efficient and concrete assistance can be given. The statement continues, as Secretary of the Vatican's Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, the Archbishop would especially like to draw attention to the fate of the thousands of migrant workers who got trapped in the conflict, with special concern for those who are from Asian or African countries who are more abandoned. May the international institutions also come to their assistance, and not just to the assistance of the peoples from the First World, helping to evacuate them to safer places and or assist them to return home. In addition to 22,000 people, both Sudanese and Iraqis, who received asylum in Lebanon, They are now facing the consequences of the hostilities with special difficulties, neither being able to stay nor return to their home countries. It would be of great assistance, says the Archbishop, to all of them if the entry procedures at the Lebanese-Syrian border would be facilitated and if the government of Syria would allow them, Lebanese migrants and recognized refugees, to enter temporarily and grant them protection during this time of violence.
But just what are some of the serious problems facing aid workers on the ground now in Lebanon? Adib Faris of Catholic Relief Services spoke to me at length from Beirut.
The longer-term aspects of this conflict that Catholic Relief Services and Caritas are looking at is the sense of depression, the sense of dismay that this conflict has caused and will cause, to see all that was built over the last 15 years be destroyed completely, especially over, you know, in the southern part of the country and the Baca Valley, I think has been a tremendous psychological blow to Lebanese, apart, of course, from the devastation of lives lost and the infrastructure. But the ramifications of seeing this country once again being pictured with rubble and destruction and mayhem is really setting back a lot of people, particularly the younger generation, which really had lived in relative peace for the last 15 years. So where I left here as a young child in the midst of evacuations and mayhem, these are children that have grown up here in relative peace. Now they are witnessing what I witnessed, and it's really having a profound effect on them.
Like, as you said, you yourself went through it. It must really have a devastating effect on young people who never have seen a real war in their lives. Many were too young to remember what happened before. How have you seen these psychological effects on young people, on children, manifest themselves?
Foremost is the being scared all the time. I mean, what you have is people literally expecting and cringing in anticipation of a bomb dropping or something happening around them. It's that knowledge that this stable environment that they've been used to has suddenly changed completely. And so what you have in our case is, I look outside of our offices, for instance, when the southern suburbs are being bombed and we hear those loud explosions and we know the type of damage they're causing, suddenly busy streets are completely empty. And so what you have is children are almost waiting in anticipation and a very scared and frightened way, waiting for the next explosion. So they're reluctant to go outside. They want to stay close to their parents or their older siblings. They don't want to eat. They're really trying to just sort of escape in a way to some place where they can feel safe. Unfortunately, for a lot of them, they don't have the ability to go to places where the sounds of the war or the sights of the war are not affecting them. So it's going to be really, I think, something that begins to manifest itself in the long term. And that is to say, you know, in another 6 months or so, we'll probably start to really see a lot of this. But there are a lot of children, for instance, from our colleague who's working in the southern city of Sidon, who reports a lot of children who cannot keep their food down. They don't sleep. Some of them have amnesia, where they just don't remember where they're at. So their memory comes and goes. And a lot of that is just from the pressure that they're enduring. So these are the types of things that we worry about as this conflict goes along, and hopefully won't drag along much longer. But certainly whenever it stops, there's this challenge for us to deal with.
Now, where are your people exactly located, and are you able to provide any kind of assistance to the people in the south of the country? And also, are you extending some of your services up north?
Well, one of the beauties of in terms of how Catholic Relief Services works within the Caritas network is we have a very strong partnership with Caritas Lebanon. Caritas Lebanon has over 36 centers throughout the country. These were centers established well before this latest conflict. So we plug into that wonderful network. They have a great volunteer system that reaches out to a lot of different parts of the country. And so we provide them not only with funds, but also with material. And through their incredible network, they reach out to a lot of people, be they in Beirut, up in the north, in the Bekaa, in the south. Catholic Relief Services itself is operating through, we have one of our staff members who's actually from the city of Sidon. So he's working with a local group there, and we're providing three hot meals a day. We're providing basic furnishings and medicines to over 100 families, and that's unfortunately that group is growing day by day. That is to say, Sidon is now suddenly becoming the area in the south where most people are coming to, because the city of Tyre and many of the villages in the south simply are just not safe, and there's no food or water at this point. So everybody's coming up to Sidon, and the situation there is becoming really serious in terms of the resources that are being stretched.
Now, I know Catholic Relief Services does not distinguish between Muslims or Christians. Everybody is the same in your eyes. However, how many Christians would be in the south in this period?
Well, there are lots of villages in the south, certainly that have a significant Christian population. What we're seeing are some of the villages in the extreme south, being Urmeish, Marjayoun. The problem they're having is they're not under direct attack. However, they are struggling with getting resources, that is to say electricity, drinking water, basic food items. So what we're seeing from them is they're trying to move to the bigger city, which is Marjayoun, and trying to consolidate in the bigger cities that have a large Christian population. Unfortunately, in the south, as you know, getting these basic necessities to these cities is becoming very difficult. A lot of the trucks have been targeted. Any type of truck that is deemed to be potentially carrying something threatening to the Israeli Defense Forces is shelled. So it's very hard to get that. So a lot of the Christian community is moving up north to family or friends who live in different areas. It's the same, of course, with the Muslim community. But the Christian areas have not been directly targeted as of now. However, they're certainly in very dire straits because all of the access roads around them are being cut off, and they're running very, very well. In fact, the one village I saw a report, the head of the municipality there was saying basically people are drinking from water sources that are basically for crops and for animals, that they're not clean sources of drinking water. This is in Urmeish, which is a Christian village. So these are the type of problems that we're dealing with, and these were people are desperately trying to come up from those areas. There are ways to get up north. The problem is some of these people really don't have the economic access to really get to the north. That is to say, they don't have any of the financial wherewithal to try to get north. So they're trying to get to towns in the south, which are easy for them to get to, where at least they feel more comfortable. However, having said that, we're anticipating within the next couple of weeks at the latest that the situation in terms of all these resources, food and fuel and water, are going to become very acute, and it's going to cause a catastrophe really in the south.
So what needs to happen? You're talking about security, safe access for this humanitarian aid so that it can effectively reach the people who need it. However, it is a very explosive, dangerous situation there. Four UN troops were killed this week in Lebanon in an Israeli bombardment. How do you secure safe access to humanitarian supplies?
That's the biggest challenge we're facing now, Tracy. And I think what we're looking at, and we have to be realistic, unfortunately, is it doesn't seem to be with the impasse in the Rome discussions, with everything that's been happening on the ground in the south. For instance, this morning I've been talking to people in the south. There's been bombardment in almost 8 villages until now, aerial bombardment. So really what we're probably, if the situation stays as it is, that is to say if there is active combat, what we're looking at is essentially developing areas or trying to develop areas in the south, be they a city like Sidon or Marjayoun, where people go to, and then just trying to negotiate with all parties involved to make sure that humanitarian convoys, be they via overland with trucks or be they through the ports, of Sidon and Tyre to try to get that, because really what we're looking at is this: the longer the hostilities and the conflict goes on, the more and more these communities are simply not safe enough for any type of humanitarian activity to take place in.
What would you like to see the international community do that hasn't done so far? And you are an American Lebanese. Do you think America has done enough to bring about an end to this conflict?
Well, frankly speaking, I think that what's happened, if I can speak for both as an American and as a Lebanese, I think that there just is no real understanding or recognition as to why a ceasefire is not possible at this time. I don't think that's been articulated enough by the American administration to people. I don't think they see a reason as to why this, you know, where civilians are being targeted. I think that's a problem that we are going to face certainly when we go and talk to these communities, that people just don't understand what is so hard about getting a ceasefire, if nothing else, to get this humanitarian aid into these areas. So it's really difficult when you talk to, whether you're talking to people who have come up from the south or whether you're talking to people in various areas, to explain why a ceasefire at this time, if for nothing else than for purely humanitarian reasons, could not be put in place. And there's a view that the United States can, if it wanted to, call for a ceasefire.
Adib Faris is security manager and acting head of office in Beirut for Catholic Relief Services. Well, he and all those caught up in the Israeli-Lebanese conflict, and most especially the innocent civilians, are certainly in our hearts in these hours as we join the Holy Father in prayer for their safety and well-being, and not least, for an end to all conflict in the Middle East. Does bring today's program to a close. I thank you very much for joining us here on Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Don't forget, you can also listen to this and other programs on our website. You'll find that on www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.